Hello, this is Todd Starnes. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at Odessa First Assembly, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoy this message, and I pray the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Remember, Scripture tells us in Philippians 2:13, "For it is He that works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." And I pray that that work begins in you today. I wanted to share with you this morning about making fear afraid. Making fear afraid. And we're going to look at a portion of Scripture that I've been looking at for some time. And I've been just praying, I mean, for a couple of years now, I've wanted to go to this verse and this passage and preach on it. It's a story in Scripture that accounts just an exciting story. But I just never really had direction on it. Not, another day I was sitting and just, we had done our worship session on for our family, our devos, and the Lord just really started speaking to me. And so I want to share that with you this morning. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to first kind of look at just kind of, I want to share a few thoughts about Ephesians 5:16, and then we're going to jump back in the Old Testament to 1 Samuel chapter 13 and 14. So we're going to look at first at Ephesians 5:16, and then we're going to jump over to 1 Samuel 13 and 14. So let's just read together this morning. Ephesians 5:16, it says this: "Making the best use of time, because the days are evil." Making the best use of time, because the days are evil. And that's out of the ESV. I really like the ESV. It's kind of my go-to translation. But I want to read out of a couple of different other translations. And that's in your notes too. It says this in the NLT. I really like the way the NLT says this: "Make the most of every opportunity." So we see, make the best use of your time. Make the most of every opportunity. And then we get into the King James, the KJV. It says this: "Redeeming the time." And I really think those statements that Scripture tells us are really critical for this moment that we're in. And I'm going to tell you, Paul, there is a specific theme that Paul is writing, that these words, redeeming the time, make the most of opportunity. When it's translated, we kind of lose some when it's gone from the Greek to the English. But there is something that Paul is writing here. And what he's saying is don't be controlled by the circumstance because life is too short. I'm going to say that again. What Paul is really saying here, don't allow yourselves to be controlled by the outward circumstance because life is too short to allow the junk of that stuff to steal your time. We know what we're facing. I really think that there is a spiritual warfare going on right now of the enemy trying to steal our joy, trying to steal our faith, trying to steal our peace, trying to steal our time to get us to hole up and hide up. But don't allow the enemy to do that. We're in the middle of something that you can make the most of every opportunity. We can redeem the time and we can make a difference. There's a Latin phrase maybe that you're familiar with. It says this: carpe diem. Do you remember what that means? Seize the day. If I were to put a definition on what it means, I would say that it's to take advantage of each and every opportunity every day as they present themselves until our last breath. It is to squeeze out of each day all that we can and to make every day count, to redeem the time, to redeem that time that we can make that day count for all that we can make it count for. It's not to waste a single day. I mean, once that day is gone, it's gone. We can never retrieve it. For believers, it means that each day should be used for the fullest potential for God's purposes and His kingdom. So we've got to seize every day for God. We've got to make the most of every opportunity. As every opportunity presents itself, every divine appointment, every encounter, we have got to make the most of that opportunity. It doesn't mean that we can't have hobbies. It doesn't mean that we can't have a little fun. But I'm going to tell you, I think last week maybe it was that Angela even shared this quote. But there's a quote that I love by Leonard Ravenhill, and it's this: "The opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during the lifetime of the opportunity." I'm going to say that again. The opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during the lifetime of an opportunity. Leonard Ravenhill says that. And I'm going to tell you what you need to know more than ever before sure right now is that God still has a purpose for your life, that God still has a mission for your life, and that awkward circumstance that's happening, what's facing and going on around us, the enemy is trying to strike fear into our hearts. He's trying to rob us of our peace, that we shrink back as the church. But I'm going to tell you, we are not going to do that, are we? We're going to press forward. We're going to move on. We're going to bring the church. We are not going to shrink back. God has a mission for our life, and we're going to fulfill that. During this season, listen, let's be wise. You know, be informed. You know, listen to the news and have a knowledge base of what's going on and how this is impacting us. But I'm going to tell you, don't let that be your source. Don't let that be the food that you just constantly take in. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you a challenge. I'm going to give you a challenge that you get into worship, that you get into prayer, that you get in your Bible, that you get in a podcast, 2-1 over what you're watching in the news. Yes, be informed. Know what's happening. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you want to turn away from the fear in your life, then allow the Word of God to feed you and allow your faith to be built up. Be intentional about your contact with people. Listen, I know that the social distancing thing and no groups above 10 and all that stuff going on, but you know what? You can still be creative in how you contact people. You know, we have, you know, these phones that we have, you know what they do? Besides text, you can actually go on and you can call somebody. Did you know your phone actually makes phone calls? You can call somebody. You can text them. Think of some way. And so I got this from Amanda and Audrey Atkins, Pastor Sharman told me about it. So I'm giving him full credit. But something their church is doing is make 3 contacts every day, some way, somehow. You might have to be creative about it. But I'm going to tell you, get out of your shell. Get out of the funk and call somebody and say, hey, you know what? I love you. I'm praying for you. And let them know that we are being hit hard with this thing. And I mean, our economy, our oil prices. I'm going to tell you this. I know this has a whole lot to do maybe with my sermon. But you know, we have people, we have entrepreneurs. I'm thinking about John Mark and Heather Bays that run our local Texas Roadhouse here in Odessa. And that they are doing all that they can to keep their employees employed. And so they've come up with, you know, they've changed their hours to open at noon instead of just the evening, and they're supplying family meals. And so I'd encourage you, yes, take advantage of that. And I think about Dean and Karen Rogers with their hotshot service, or Paul Chi and his transport service, or Nathan and construction. Utilize these people in our church. Let's do all that we can to support one another. But now I want to get to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, making fear afraid. We're going to get to chapter 14, but we got to kind of start at the foundation of this, which we find in chapter 13. I'm not going to go through and read a bunch of patches in 13. I'm trying to give you this kind of the sum of it. But we are seeing of a description of an army and its king that are unwilling to do anything. Matter of fact, we're seeing them afraid. We're seeing them shrink back. We're seeing the King Saul, sitting under a pomegranate tree. I mean, they're not doing anything. They are being oppressed by the Philistines. I mean, Scripture uses the term in 1 Samuel chapter 13, they are hard-pressed. They couldn't even sharpen their own farm tools. They had to go to the Philistines and pay the Philistines to sharpen their tools. They weren't allowed to have weapons of war. They weren't allowed to have swords and shields and things of that nature. The Philistines are in control at this moment. And matter of fact, as we transition from chapter 13 and to chapter 14, we see that the Philistines are right on Israel's doorstep. And Israel's not far away. The army's there together, but they're not doing anything. They're not pressing forward. The Philistines have them kind of locked in. And so, I mean, think about it. They had to take their tools to even be sharpened by the Philistines. And then we get to 1 Samuel 13, 22. And I do want to read this verse. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 22. It says, on the day of battle, there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people with Saul and Jonathan. So think about that. Maybe that's what they felt powerless. They didn't have any weapons. They didn't have anything. Here they are, an army with no weapons of war. I mean, how much sense does that make? And so I want to tell you something. Number one is this, is that fear is what's contagious. Fear is contagious. It doesn't take much for fear to spread uncontrollably. You know, and I think I was thinking about the toilet paper. I mean, I understand it somewhat because I know that no one, once it gets locked in, you know, be confined to their house for 14 days and run out of toilet paper. I got to be honest. If I'm locked down in my house for 14 days, the first thing, item my mind goes to is not toilet paper. But it did somebody's. And what did that spark? I mean, I think it's a perfect illustration. What did that spark? That, I mean, somebody was like in a store buying up toilet paper, and there was another guy that said, you know what, I better do that too. And then it went from the next person to the next person and the next person. And what was it? And now, I mean, you know, I heard in Roswell, I mean, it's crazy what I'm hearing out there, that the stores are breaking open the packages and selling toilet paper individually. I mean, think about that. Have we really come to that? I had a pastor call me, and he kind of gave me a dad joke. So if you're in the couple of you in the room, laugh, so at least I know someone is listening. But he said that he thought that what had happened is that the toilet paper got raptured and we got left behind because the toilet paper, the roll got called up yonder. Some of you are not going to have a clue what that is, so Google it, the roll called up yonder. Anyway, all right. So fear is contagious. I mean, it shapes our thoughts. It shapes, you know what fear does? It even shapes our prayers. I mean, we kind of come to the Lord in almost a defeatist attitude. Lord, you know what's bad out there? It's just so awful out there. And we kind of, that's where when our focus gets on that, we get zeroed on that. I mean, there's been this week times I get a headache, or maybe my chest doesn't feel right, or, you know, my nose, I have to blow my nose. And I mean, and sometimes that thought is like, oh no. You know what that is? That is fear. And I don't think I'm alone in that, because fear is contagious. And that's exactly what the enemy is trying to do, is strike fear into us. Saul, being king, had the power to act. I mean, he could have rallied the troops. He could have motivated them and prayed for a way. I believe God put the Philistines at their doorstep because God wanted the Philistines conquered. But here's the king and the army not doing anything about it, not ready to seize the day, not ready to seize the opportunity, not ready to make the most of that opportunity. He saw an impossible situation where his army had no weapons and they couldn't, you know, afraid to respond. But then there was his son. See, Saul failed to see this as a divine, listen to me, Paul failed to see this as a divine opportunity and failed to seize the day for God. And I don't want to be that. But see, then we get to a man by the name of Jonathan. Jonathan is Saul's son. But did you know what else is contagious? And I would dare say more contagious than fear, faith is contagious. Faith is contagious. So now let's look at a few things in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 1. One day, Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to a young man who carried his armor bearer, he says this, "Come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison on the other side." But he did not tell his father. There is something that triggered Jonathan. And he's like, you know what? I'm tired of sitting. I'm tired of being controlled by that Philistine army. I'm tired of being controlled by the fear they're striking into us. And then let's skip down to verse 4. And it says, within the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistine garrison. I didn't look up what a garrison is, but I'm sure it's a greater number than two. I'm sure it's a greater number than Jonathan and his armor bearer. And there was a rocky crag, the Bible says. On one side was a rocky crag, and on the other side, the name of these were Bostates and Sunny. Bostates and Sunny. And those, both of those names of these cliffs have a specific meaning. Bostates means shining, and Sunny means thorn or jagged. And so I'm trying to think of, imagine what that would have looked like. But here's the thing. So something snaps, something goes off in Jonathan saying, you know what, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of being oppressed. I'm tired of the Philistines. I'm tired of where we're at, and we're going to do something about it, even though that they are outnumber us, even though that they're a garrison. And so the first thing they do, he gets up, he takes a step of faith, and what happens? He meets some cliffs. I'm going to tell you, when you take a step of faith, it's not always easy, but if you will keep moving forward, you'll find out that your faith is contagious. And I also kind of want to, this is kind of a digress, maybe a rabbit trail, if you will, but I started thinking about those cliffs. And you know what? The enemy, so many times, he tries to present himself with a falsehood of what's really true. And so I was thinking about cliffs and rocks, and I started thinking about, you know what the scripture tells us that Jesus, a few moments ago, Derek alluded that in his prayer, that Jesus being the capstone, the chief cornerstone. That the Bible said that Jesus is a tested stone. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 that he's the rock. He's the spiritual rock that water flowed out of, that water that gave the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness water. I'm going to tell you, there is no greater rock than Jesus Christ. There is no greater rock. There is no greater foundation than Jesus. And matter of fact, in the Old Testament, where we see that Moses in Exodus 32 and 33, where Moses was placed in the cleft of the rock because he cried out for the presence of God, and God said, you can't see me and live, but I'm going to place you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to pass over you so that you can experience my presence. Jesus is that place in the rock. There is no rock like him. He's the rock higher than I. He is the great rock. He's the foundational rock, and that's who we depend on. And when you're standing on that rock, it doesn't matter what the cliffs look like. You can be an overcomer. You can move on in spite of it. And so 1 Samuel 14:6, it says, Jonathan says to his armor bearer, so right, they get up. He's like, man, I'm tired of this. We're going to go after the garrison. Come on, armor bearer. The first thing they see is the rock, and then the cliffs, and then verse 6. Jonathan said to the young man who carried his armor, I love this verse. Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will... You know, you say, look at that for a second. It says, it may... He doesn't say in confident terms that God's going to be on their side. He says, may. See, that's where faith comes into. We don't know if God is going to show up or not, but I'm going to tell you, God will show up when you step out in faith. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many. He's saying, it doesn't matter that we're two. It doesn't matter how many they are. The Lord can do anything. The Lord can do whatever he pleases. But the key about this faith spreading, I think the key is on how the armor bearer responds. The armor bearer didn't respond, you crazy, bro. He didn't say that. He didn't say, nope, I don't think so. He didn't say, I'll catch you on the flip side. You see, what usually the armor bearer did, he bore the armor for the one that needed to wear it. And whenever he suited the one up that was going to battle and wear it, he was left to fend on his own. He had to fend for himself. And so you got to think how much Jonathan's faith inspired the armor bearer. Because when you get to verse 7, how does the armor bearer respond? And his armor bearer said to him, do all that's in your heart. Do as you wish. Behold, I am with you heart and soul. Do you think that the armor bearer was inspired by Jonathan's faith? I'm going to tell you that fear is contagious, but faith is greater. Faith is even more contagious. And during this season, this time, if somebody would just stand up, it doesn't mean be stupid. I'm not telling you to go out and hold a public meeting of 50 people, but I'm going to tell you the Holy Spirit can lead you, He can guide you, and you can respond in faith and not fear. You are a carrier of something. You are a carrier of faith, or you are a carrier of fear. And when you get near people, they are going to catch what you have. And so what I want to give them is faith. Are you carrying fear or faith? Is what you have worth catching? I love the scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. For not only has the word of God sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we not say anything. Your faith has gone forth everywhere. Look right there on the couch. I do this in life sometimes, so we're going to do it right now. Look at your neighbor and say your wife, your husband, your kid, your dog, whoever you got right there, and tell them everywhere. My faith is going everywhere. So, listen, one plus God is a majority. One plus God is a majority. I want to look at that verse again. Jonathan said to the young man who carries his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison, these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder. Listen to that. Nothing can hinder. Nothing can hinder the work of the Lord. Say it to yourself if you got to. Nothing can hinder the work of the Lord. Nothing can hinder God. Nothing can hinder God. There is no sickness that can hinder God. There is no circumstance that can hinder God. There's no situation that can hinder God. There's no employer that can hinder God. There's no government that can hinder God. Nothing can hinder God. Nothing. It may be Jonathan, maybe he didn't know. Maybe he didn't know if the Lord was going to show up. But I'm going to tell you, nothing can hinder God. I think it kind of goes against kind of the way that we're wired, or maybe what we know of Scripture. We want security. We want that step to be firm, but it is not always going to appear that way. And here's what I believe. I really believe this. You do the right thing, God will meet you. He promised that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He promised that He'll be with you always, even at the end of the age. I mean, I talked about at the opening of this broadcast in Psalm 139 that it says that His Spirit is everywhere. There's nowhere that you can go. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? And just like the Philistines are on Israel's doorstep and the enemy showing its teeth and he's growling, he's trying to strike fear into our hearts. If we try to do anything, we're thinking, okay, I got to get out of this, and then maybe we're met by the next obstacle, like a bunch of cliffs that surround us, and the enemy's showing himself bigger than what we really are. You see, something fear does, it's not just contagious, but fear also wants to conform you. I tell you, one of Angela's uncles, he had an emu farm. Yeah, you heard me right, emu. He had an emu farm. He had a bunch of emus. And we would go out there and would feed them. But I got to tell you, when I first started going out there, those things scared. I'm not scared of too much. But I'm going to tell you what, those things scared me to, because they're aggressive and they're intimidating. And you'd walk in the pen, boy, they'd come after you, you know. And if you know what an emu is, just Google it. You can find, after the sermon, not while I'm preaching, but you can Google what an emu is. And so he told me something. He said, listen, he said, you gotta act bigger than what you think you are. I'm like, what are you talking about? And so, you know, emus are, you know, they're kind of ostrich-like looking. And so he said, what you got to do, you got to stick your arm up like this and pretend your hand is a head, and they and act like you're supposed to be there, and they'll leave you alone. And I'm like, you are tricking me, man. You just want to take a picture. And, you know, the first of all, I guess before the really the social media and all that, but I was like, you just want to make fun of me. He's like, no, really, just go in there and stick up your arm like this and walk around and be, and you intimidate them. And I was like, all right, I'll go in there. And then they started running up towards me, and I went like that, and they all stopped. And I started going at them like this and walking around, and they left me alone. You see, my fear of them wanted me to not get in that pen with them. That fear of them, I mean, it kind of wanted me to cower back. But when I stepped forward with some knowledge, I was able to stand my ground, and that fear no longer had a hold on me. Fear wants you to shrink back. Fear will cause you to not be who God created you to be. Fear will cause you not to go for that next big step, that next big thing that maybe the God is and the Holy Spirit is drawing you to. But I'm going to tell you that you can step up. The Bible promises in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power and of love and of sound mind, of self-control. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. And matter of fact, in each and every one of you, each and every one of you, God has put a seed of faith. We all have it. Sometimes we think we don't, because that's what the lie of the enemy wants to tell us. But Scripture says you've all been given a measure of faith. You've been given some measure of faith. And the Bible also says all it takes is the faith of a mustard seed, something that you can barely even see. So even if you feel like that your faith is something that can barely even see, you feed that faith and you act like the child of God you are. You hold your head up and your shoulders back. I'm going to tell you, God's got you. He's got you. The Bible says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. I shared that scripture just a moment ago, verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Listen, fear wants to conform you, but you know what God wants for you? It's right here, to be conformed in the image of his son. Do you see it? It's right there. Do you have your Bible app open or looking at your Bible? That's a scripture. That's Romans 8:29, that God wants to conform you in the image of his son. He wants to conform you in the image of your son. And I'm going to tell you right now, the blood of Jesus makes you worthy. The blood of Jesus makes you a worthy vessel. And when you're that worthy vessel and you've been cleansed, you've been washed, God's forgiven you of your sin, and you're in right relationship with God, he takes that seed of faith and he will make it explode on the inside of you. That's why we have the promise. How do we make that faith grow? It's Romans 10:17. For hearing comes by the word of God. And our faith, it is built because of that. He will strengthen your faith. He will build your faith. For not only has the word, I don't even know where I'm at. So God, he wants to, and the reason why the enemy wants to use fear to conform you is that he doesn't want you to take on the image of Jesus. Let's think about Jesus just for a moment, just very simply. I'm so off my notes, I don't even know what I'm preaching right now. But listen to me. When I look at the example that Jesus set before us, and I think God wants to conform me in the image of his son, you know what I see about Jesus is that Jesus responded with compassion. He responded with compassion. And I'm going to tell you, we don't have much. We're not hoarders. We don't have a whole lot of stockpiled. And I realize I could have went about it a little different the other day. This past week, I was at Albertsons, and I saw this very feeble elderly couple, and I was concerned about them. And so I had my basket. They had their basket in the parking lot, and I went over to them, and I said, hey, listen, I said, do y'all need anything? I mean, do you have toilet paper? Do you have all that you need? If you do, I want to help you. And they were kind of taken back, and so I started thinking, they probably didn't want to tell me if they did have something, thinking I was going to take it. I forgot to introduce myself, and so next time I've learned, I'll say, I'm a pastor, I just want to help you. But listen, we need to respond with compassion during this time. And I'm going to tell you, God provides. He provides. It doesn't mean that maybe we might have to exercise some creativity, but God's going to provide. I see Jesus responding with compassion, him feeding the 5,000. God will multiply what you got. I believe it. He responds with authority. He had power. He had knowledge. And you know what? All of those things are available to you. Power is available to you to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Peace is available to you, the Holy Spirit. And whatever God does in you, listen, this is what, not even in my notes, but what God does in you, he does it in you for you to give it. Freely we have received, and so we should also give. And so when God does a breakthrough for you in your life, don't waste it, but open up that river inside your soul, inside your heart, and let those things flow. If you've been blessed in some way, let it flow somehow. If God's given you a word, let it flow somehow. Whatever God does in you, he does it in you for you not to keep it, but to give it, to give it. And so, you know, life's going to be full of challenges. Life's going to be full of cliffs and garrisons. Life's going to be full of struggles, questions, challenges. Are you going to sit under the pomegranate tree and be like Saul? Or are you going to be like Jonathan and his armor bearer? I don't know what's about to happen. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know this, that God's got this. He's got this. He's got me, and he's got this. We don't know what's going to happen, but I tell you that God got this. The cliffs want to conform you. The thorns want to penetrate you. But I'm going to tell you, this battle, it belongs to the Lord. And if we, the people of God, rise up and seize the opportunity, I think we're going to see the greatest day of our life, our life as believers, and the greatest day for the church. And I want to close with just a couple of thoughts, just very quickly. Our smallness does not limit our big God. Our smallness does not limit our big God. What steps of obedience is God asking you to take? What step? I'm going to tell you, if you don't rise above the fear, then you won't see the breakthrough. It's only when you take the step of faith and you rise up that you see the breakthrough. Jonathan said, let's go up where they, listen, Jonathan, let's go up where they have the advantage. I'm going to expend my energy to climb this mountain, to climb this cliff. I'm going to, just the two of us, we're going to face this garrison, this army. I mean, that is having a, and not even knowing if God's going to show up, that is a trust in God. That is a faith in God. Listen to me, God is able. God's grace, God's power, God's strength makes our insecurity irrelevant. I know so many times, I hear it all the time from people, I'm not wired that way. I'm not wired to share my faith. I'm not wired to do things this way. But listen to me. It's not about our wiring. It's about a command that God has commanded us to rise up, to be the church, to make disciples, to preach the gospel, to bear the fruit of the Spirit, to walk forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. God will meet you. And know that faith is contagious. But this is how, there's a lot I could go into the ending of this, but I want to wrap it up really quick. 1 Samuel 14, I want to read verses 13 through 15. Let's look at just a small wrap-up of what happens here. Then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and his feet. He's crawling, and his armor-bearer right after him. And they fell before Jonathan. Who's the they there? You know who the they there? That's the Philistines. So we're talking about making fear afraid. Here they are, the army of Israel is scared and has fear of the Philistines. But Jonathan takes a step of faith, and gets through the circumstance, gets through the trouble, gets through the difficulty, gets through the fear, gets through all that mess, and he stands up on the edge of that cliff, and they fall before Jonathan. And the armor bearer killed them after. And so here comes armor bearer after. They all fall before Jonathan. The armor bearer kills many of the Philistine army. Verse 14, and that first strike which Jonathan and his armor bearer made killed about 20 men within, as it were, a half a furrow's length and an acre of land. Verse 15, and there was a panic in the camp. And that panic, it wasn't in the Israelite army's camp. It was in the Philistines' camp. There was a panic in the camp, in the field, and among all the Philistines, all those people, and the garrison, even the raiders, they trembled. And listen, God showed up, and the earth quaked, and it became a very great panic. If you want to make fear afraid, then climb the cliff and get on top of that cliff and know that if God be for you, who can be against you? And even though that Satan is coming in like that raging river, that God is going to raise the standard. God's got you. You just need to stand up and step forward in faith, and you're going to be able to face any circumstance. It doesn't matter if it's a diagnosis and sickness. It doesn't matter if it's about provision for your job. It doesn't matter if it's a broken relationship. If you step forward in faith, God's got you. He has you. He's got this. And we can hold our heads up and our shoulders back, not because that we have anything special, but because we've got God on our side.
I hope and pray that this message ministered to you today. Remember, if you would like to see what's going on or want more information about us, just go to OdessaFirstAssembly.com. And of course, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you.